Go on, I have mine recording anyway, so
Oh no.
game on.
Yeah. Right, okay, so welcome to episode one
Yeah?
of Modern Life is Rubbish, which couldn't have been a more prophetic title for a podcast.
Yeah, a simultaneous podcast.
Absolutely. So yeah, I came up with the name of it a couple of months ago whenever I said I was going to start doing it, and I didn't, because obviously I've overthought it to death. And now it was only when we're on the precipice of, you
Global
know,
disaster.
global disaster and the world ending, that's actually prompted me to go ahead and just bite the bullet and record a podcast. So welcome, Darren Matthews.
Welcome, Leanne.
Thank you for welcoming me to my own podcast. That's very nice.
To
And
welcome me to my
to
podcast, which I'm also recording at the exact same time.
so this is a
Woo-hoo! Is
simulcast
it like an Inception
and
cast?
a dual
A
cast.
geocast. But this is under the working title of Modern Life is Truly Fucking Rubbish.
Modern life is rubbish at the minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're sitting here well, normally on a Saturday there would be more people here.
Yes.
There would be staff, but we haven't needed any staff today because of coronavirus taking over the world.
Gotcha.
So we're working on a skeleton operation. We've had to adapt, protect and survive. Do you remember those ads?
Adapt and overcome.
Adapt and overcome, persist and evolve.
Infiltrate, destroy, rebuild. No, that's a different thing.
What is that?
That's a metal album.
All right, I thought it was maybe some kind of Aryan fucking rebel chant or something. I don't know.
Infiltrate, destroy. That would be Norway in 1940. I think this is.
Norway.
Yeah, when the Nazis took over.
Well, the Nazis,
Ah.
great bunch of lads.
Yeah,
Do you
good
know
start to the
what?
pot.
They don't look so bad now, do they?
A minute and a half in, we're already talking about the Nazis. This is how you
Excellent.
lose an online argument. You mention the Nazis, you've lost.
Yeah, I think I've been losing online arguments since 2013. Thank you very much. Yeah, so I don't know what format this is going to take. I suppose it's just a general chit chat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to say that we're doing features and we're doing loads of different stuff, but let's face it, this has been cobbled together and we're surrounded. We have a studio that's made primarily of egg boxes,
Yeah, it's
egg
free form.
containers.
It's like my band's practice room in 2002.
Did you blue tack them to the walls or
Staples.
staples?
Staples to
Oh,
MDF wood, so
nice.
built a wee soundproof room.
Well, as you can see, I have used cello tape here in this instance, which I think is it's doing its job. Like, fuck, it's doing its job. So I fired out a wee question on Twitter, if anybody wanted to give us. I'm at McCooey, at McCooey Comedy, actually. I've done that thing, you know, like, because I've done like two fucking
Open mic gigs.
stand-ups, open mic gigs for totaling about, well, apart from the bank one, totaling about fucking 16 minutes. I now can stick comedy at the end of all my socials.
Grand.
Yeah, like hairdressers and stuff, or makeup artist.
PT.
PT.
DJs.
Yeah, PT.
Yeah.
DJ, what, did you have a DJ name?
I didn't, and I was very lazy with that because I was always just doing club nights, so it was never featuring. I was never a feature, if
You've
you
got a
get
good
me.
name though, because it's you don't you're not a Mick and you're not an O.
Aye.
You're like Darren Matthews.
Easy. Four syllables.
Connor Phillips. Hugo Duncan. I get called DJ Double D.
DJ Double D.
DJ Double D, which sounds good, but is also incredibly inaccurate for a start, because I'm definitely a fucking 36F long. And a wee bit sexist. It was a wee bit sexist. Auntie Courtney gave me that
That's true.
moniker.
Was this sort of like Newry's answer to Lisa Lashes? Is that what they were going for?
Lisa Lash has called me a lesbian.
Which
Maybe it
is
wasn't.
factually correct.
Well, it is factually correct, but you don't need to hurl that, you like. Was she even a? She was Mandy. Maybe she was called Mandy. Who is Lisa Lashes?
She was like a hardcore DJ from the. I think she's probably still on the go, but I
Is she
remember it being a
Northern
very late
Ireland?
90s. I think she is.
There was some bird. Maybe she was called Mandy something, but she was. She might have been DJing in the Mourne Country
Grand.
at some kind of fucking, I don't know,
Was this a reasonably good looking girl who could mix? Is that what it was?
perhaps.
Yeah.
She might have got all her clothes exclusively from that shop called Paranoid, if anybody remembers.
That's
It's
yeah.
where you bought very little clothing stitched together for a lot of money that you wore to the arena. Normat.
Also known as the Met.
The Met, yeah. I think it was the arena before, I think.
It was the arena in about 1989.
Yeah,
I
all
think
right.
people still had glow sticks and white gloves at that point.
Don't we all?
Yeah, I retired mine.
Why?
Because I became a rocker. So there was no more...
Did you ever do a bit of rave at all? Or do you ever do anything like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been to bits and... I like dance music when it's played by a band.
Okay.
So Pendulum, Groove Armada, Faithless.
Yes.
That kind of stuff.
Yes.
So I do enjoy that. I like stuff like Daft Punk. But proper hardcore Taking Pills? No, not for me.
Taking pills. Do you hear you?
Is that part of the culture?
You don't have to take pills to enjoy some fucking hardcore chants.
Just ask
Chris Souter.
Fair enough.
Chris the DJ. Chris the Taylor. Chris the DJ. The Taylor. Do you follow Chris?
No.
Okay. I'm just vomiting into the atmosphere. Chris is the best name for a tailor ever would be Taylor. But he is called Chris Souter and he owns a suit shop. He makes suits. His name's actually Chris Souter.
Well, see, that's how people used to get their names years ago.
Aye.
Like people, like in Norman times, they would just name you by nearly what you did. So we're just like, the name Butcher is what Dak used to do.
So you'd be Leanne Barista. Leanne Chronic Slagger.
Fair enough.
It's a bit fucking wordy. Well, it's double barrel.
Sounds posh. Middle class.
Very middle class. So your woman was out DJing anyway. And I think in the Mourne Country, there was a Caribbean trance night or something out there. And she ended up back in the bank off her scone. And just sort of like, you know, she was some kind of celeb.
And called you a lesbian.
I think she did, aye. I let her in in order to... I think Keith Duffy from Boyzone or something might have been there. And she came back for like, you know, the exclusive after party, which was all of the staff out of, what do you call that place, down Eastone? The Good Food Shop, because the Good Food Shop also owned the bank. So all these young girls that were training to be butchers.
Gotcha.
Got to meet Keith Duffy. Sure, Keith was fucking delighted.
Yeah, and also probably wanted to go home to Dublin, but he
probably did want to go home to Dublin, like,
yeah.
There used to be some good celebrities in the bank. Anthony from Big Brother was my favourite.
Anthony from Big Brother, but it's the Geordie lad?
Yeah, he was a disco dancer.
That's right.
Yeah. And he released a disco dancing workout on DVD after he won Big Brother. I didn't buy it.
Did you?
I did. It was fucking awful.
Was this when DVDs were 20 quid as well?
Probably, yeah. Well, it was a good solid $14.99 probably.
In our price?
Maybe Woolies. Nah, probably our price.
Yeah.
Our price. Anyway, so I threw out a wee question on Twitter saying, well, not a question, a statement saying I was recording this podcast. And did anybody have any questions? Ali McKenzie.
Oh, Ali's the man.
Straight in there with two questions, a twofer.
Can we start with Ali as well, because I'm sitting in the manure top and we discussed what he did earlier. He filmed.
Oh, right,
what
okay.
We talked about earlier, which
yes,
was
he did.
The fantastic Ali and Darren Mullen and Deggy Carville from Newry. Since the football's been called off, the guys went up to see one of Newry's biggest fans and had a wee kick about in his garden.
Was very cool. It was very young lad called Declan, was it?
I think it's Martin. We'll find out.
I keep thinking this is live. This is weird for me because I'm the champion of the Facebook live.
Gotcha.
So I'm expecting now for Ali to message me and give me the fucking dates.
Yeah,
which is not going to do. Anyway, let's go with one of his questions. How much effort, this is one for you actually, how much effort does it take to organise, book the talent and run your comedy nights?
We're going to give away the magic if I tell him, but it's weird. It's not very hard to organise, but to make it work is difficult.
That's true.
So like, because I've been doing comedy for enough time, I know a lot of comics, so I can get the acts handy enough, but to actually make it happen. And then obviously, Leanne, what with you being so difficult to work with?
That's true, because I'm a massive diva.
Exactly, demands.
Well, if you break it down into three bits, so it says, right, you have to organise it, book the talent, and run the night. So,
well, the running the night split in half, because it's me and you doing it together, which makes it a lot easier.
I was going to say, I organise the venue / the promo.
Yes.
You book the talent.
Yes.
And I get drunk.
Yes.
On the night. And that's generally how it runs.
And on my night off, I get drunk, and you're also drunk. So it's just fucking anarchy.
I need to stop getting drunk those comedy nights, though. But it is good banter.
It's great fun.
Yeah, it is. It's awesome.
It's Newry's best night out that you can have less than 100 people at.
Yeah, exactly.
According to government guidelines.
But for responsible social distancing, we have obviously knocked the comedy nights on the head.
Yeah.
For the time being, which is a bit of a bummer.
Definitely.
I did like my idea, though, of having some comedy acts performing to literally a cold room, i.e. a room with nobody in it.
I
thought that was a fucking brilliant idea, and then I was like, oh, hold on a minute, there's not going to be anybody laughing.
Well, one of the facts, comedy exists only if there's an audience. Otherwise, it's just one of us having a mental breakdown.
Yeah, it's just a mad lesbian laughing in a room and then crying.
So,
but, you know, still, it was right. Oh, so that feeds into the next thing. How can you keep comedy alive in strange times?
This is what we need to develop, and this is what we need to look at. There are, because, I mean, obviously musicians can go on and set up a Patreon and say, I'm going to play on Facebook Live in the night, and you can donate money if you've enjoyed the show. How the hell do we do that without...
Yeah, because Chris Martin was banging out a few tunes there, and was it Lady Gaga or Pink or something like that?
Must all be up there. They might have been saying that. They're probably bored in the fucking house too.
Yeah, but I mean, they're doing it and, you know, getting all inlet and stuff, and people are, you know, watching in their droves and their absolute millions. Whereas if I just sit in my house and just talk shit, you know, you're not going to get millions out of that.
How long is it until your dad phones and asks if you're alright?
Yeah, I know. No, he doesn't have Facebook, so it's okay.
Oh, dead on, that's right. Sure, yeah. Your breakdown can go unnoticed.
Yeah, he doesn't believe in Facebook, so he doesn't. He asked me one time, do you have eBay on your internet? That's one of the...
Your internet?
Yeah. He pointed at my phone and he said, do you have eBay on your internet? I was like, do... This one come pre-installed with eBay. So, but it was lost on him. I even said that it was lost on him because that could be a viable thing.
He didn't get the context of what you were firing at him there.
I think he sensed my sarcasm.
Well, see, we talked about... what we talked about the car park rave, could we do car park comedy? You know, like a drive-in movie?
Yeah.
But you have to... We'll get a few people to park in front of us and turn the lights on.
Yeah,
we'll
I didn't think this because you've got that big window there. If you could get a big screen large enough to sit in the window, where would you get a big screen in Newry? There's never been one in Newry, has there, that's caused months and months and months and years of
No, certainly not. Certainly not one that wasn't just put up and let be.
Erected beside a cathedral.
Yeah.
It's some kind of weird... I don't know. What sort of structure was that anyway?
I don't know.
It was like something out of Skynet. Sort of vibe going on.
Back to the Future 2, Biff's alternate timeline when he owns a casino. No, that was... Because what we talked about, because you were saying about playing tunes out the window, as like, we could have a wee rave, but the problem of it is, as we discussed, and we would love to keep the comedy going. So, I mean, we can always make more content. We can go off and make sketches and stuff, as long as we're a meter apart from each other.
Yes. Like we are now.
Like we are now. Social protocols and such. And we've all washed our hands and alcohol wiped my hands and all that crack since I come in. Keeping alive, I was wondering if we could do the car park rave and maybe the car park comedy club.
You see, it's all fun and games. Actually, we did have this, we developed this idea, but we didn't keep you up to date. I was chatting with Amy and Patty earlier on, and we had the idea of a social distance disco, where if you had a hula hoop,
yeah,
and fired it on the ground, like, you know, a lot of them 2 meters apart, and you can dance within your hoop.
Right.
That sounds wrong.
I know.
But you could have a little boogie.
Okay.
But you can't boogie outside the hoop.
This sounds like
be shot.
This sounds like when your man and dad was going to the dances and the priest would walk around and tell them they were too close.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we can
stop touching crotches.
We can have a sniper on the roof of fucking Dunn's car park.
Fair enough.
Pick off anybody that
paintball gun
that robots outside the parameters.
Okay.
That would be pretty good.
Well, if we could do that I suppose, if it's going to be an empty space. Or I suggested like a drive-in movie, have people come in, wind the windows down, and really put the PA on, and maybe have a rave. Because we've both DJed.
Yeah.
But I'm worried about then if the cops pull up and go, what exactly the fuck are you doing?
What's going on here? And then you have to remember that the young lads that like to sit in their car and smoke cigarettes with each other, they will probably ruin it for everyone.
I also figure out that some of them probably have radios louder than our PA system.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
So we'd be drowned out by competitive DJ stage 2 across the way there.
By Tiesto.
Yeah. I'd play a bit of Tiesto if they'd fuck off, but...
Nah.
I don't mind a bit of Tiesto. He's just not doing anything. He's just very Dutch and not doing anyone any harm.
Very Dutch.
Yeah.
Can you be too Dutch?
Yes.
Like Goldmember?
Yes.
Yes.
Wearing your clogs, eating your fucking pancakes.
Yeah, schmocking the pancake. Right, and we've got another question here. Oh! This is from Alistair McGarity, who is a long time commenter and contributor to my Insta on Facebook.
Hopefully a first time caller, long time listener out of this podcast.
He's also a massive cunt. No, he's not. But he does, he enjoys a good bit of slagging.
Good man.
He enjoys slagging. I won't say who or what, but he does. We're mutual slaggers. Best coffee in Uri apart from my own place.
Apart from here?
Yeah.
Best coffee in Uri.
Best coffee in Uri. I have to say, Maya. Maya's coffee is very good.
I met Garth McCullough the day you came in and slapped me.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, she thought I was cheating on you.
Yeah. That was my heart broken there, actually. They do a nice smooth, blend, and they're obviously fiercely independent.
That's true.
And very cool, and they do awesome burritos. But we're not talking about burritos here.
Well, here's the mad shit as well, though. If we're giving recommendations for coffee, does that matter anymore, seeing as everyone's fucking closing?
Well, we can still do takeaways. Bojo says we can still do takeaways.
Grand.
For as long as we're allowed to, and we don't have people losing their minds over it. So I've my takeaway is the ultimate takeaway, as in you don't get into the fucking building.
Yeah.
You get it handed out through a window to you. But yeah, Maya are still open. We're doing takeaway only. So they've got like about 10 fucking A4 sheets that just says takeaway only.
Gotcha.
Which I can just imagine in Dion's voice.
Makes sense.
Yeah. For anybody that's wondering what we're talking about, there's a girl that works in Maya who sounds exactly like Danny Dyer. And she won't mind me saying that because I've said it to her face.
That's alright.
I've said it from a socially appropriate distance so she didn't knock the fuck out of me.
I was going to say, we're not online bullying anybody by
acting
her for her Danny Dyerness.
No, she... Yeah, so I would go with Maya. They're pretty tasty.
Maya's good. I've only had one down in there in Maya. And, well, they're closed now, but where was I last week?
They're doing takeaways.
What?
They're doing takeaways.
No, the place I was going to say was closed now because used to do the coffee in Finnegan's Sons.
Right.
Because I worked for Grounded in Belfast many years ago.
Right.
I know Graham and the coffee's in it.
Graham did allow me to try one of his Finnegan and Son coffees, and it's beyond my pay grade. It's beyond my...
I mean just like the bean in the machine. Did you get like a fancy put
the
weight
bean
there?
In the machine?
Did you get one that was prepared through an Egyptian person's sock and had been grown in Panama before being blended in Bolivia and then shipped across the ocean inside a cat?
I don't know, but...
They are fancier coffees than I drink as well. Like.
I asked him for milk and he winced. He winced audibly and visually at me when I asked him for milk. He told me to try it without milk, so I did. And...
That it hurt your face.
It hurt everything.
Grand.
There were tasting notes along with it. It was supposed to be like echoes of cherry and vibrations of chocolate, and you know, things like that. I got no whispers of anything. I whispered it into the bin.
Right.
Sorry, Graham.
Fair enough.
I like my coffee to taste like coffee.
I just like a good coffee as well. But when I'm over there, I'm only drinking like a latte, but you obviously got a very strong Americano or something.
I got a little tight. It was like a 4 ounce cup of dreams. Like a 4 ounce cup of fucking caffeinated dreams.
Where'd you get that? You got it out of the ether.
I got it from a coffee fucking guru. Thank you. Now people have just decided to start sending each other gifts on my Twitter feed.
Fair enough.
Right, so best comes, that's Maya.
Nothing in relation to what we're talking about.
Darren McLaughlin has asked, what is your malfunction ginge?
Is that me or you?
I don't know. And is there such a thing as a malfunction ginge?
Because
he left out a comma? What is your malfunction?
What's my malfunction? Is this like, what's your trauma? Why do you do comedy?
Maybe. All I can get through my head at the minute is Craig David's What's Your Flavour? Tell me what's your flavour.
What is my malfunction? My malfunction is I'm from Bessbrook and normal people don't come from there. Which makes it interesting.
You give Bessbrook a hard time.
I know I do.
You know, not everyone out there is addicted to heroin.
That's true. My ma's not. She quit years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. That was my sneaky one for Lent when people used to say, what are you going off? And I always said heroin because it was an easy one to quit.
Yeah.
I've never done it, so...
Okay.
It's a cop-out, like, but, you know...
Yeah, heroin's a massive cop-out.
Exactly.
My malfunction... It's obviously...
Get a pen, there's a list here.
Yeah, there is a fucking mad list. I don't even have a malfunction. I have a fucking a recall.
Yeah.
That's what I have.
Me and Yulia and the friends like this, who needs a support group?
Yeah. We call all Leanne McCooey's back to the fucking garage for a diagnostic report. Being a massive overthinker, that's probably the biggest one.
Yeah, well, we did say before, we were like, let's just record this, because no matter what we record, you'll not be happy with, so let's just do it.
Yeah, probably is overthinking. I took a load of sleeping tablets.
Do you think it is?
Yeah, fuck off.
Do you think it's overthinking?
I think it is. I took a load of sleeping tablets the other night, right? Not a load, not an irresponsible load.
That sounds wrong, yeah.
I took the maximum amount of sleeping tablets that one person can take.
No more than two.
It depends what it is. It was an antihistamine, technically. So it would take 50 milligrams. These are 10 milligram tablets.
Fair enough.
Not to be pernickety or anything. But I still managed to stay awake, worrying about like what was going to happen. This is before there was any real concrete, you know, instructions from the government about what's happening, what's not happening. So everything was a wee bit up in the air. It was like Tuesday or Wednesday or something. So even though I was incredibly tired, I was still awake going, this is, what's going on, fuck, you know, that's not good.
So your brain's knackered, but or you are physically knackered, but your brain won't shut up to let you be quietly.
It won't shut up, but at the same time, it was like my brain was going to sleep every so often, but then it would go,
I've just thought of something worse.
So I didn't have a very good sleep that night, actually. Yeah, that's my malfunction.
That's a malfunction, yeah.
That's actually a physical malfunction. Yeah. Function, as that voice was. Conor O'Neill, also known as Ginger. Gary McGinn has said tomatoes on a fry or not. I say not, even though I do put a tomato on my fry.
Doesn't bother me.
I put it on simply for colour.
Gotcha.
I don't expect anybody to eat it. And I don't trust anybody who actually does eat it. Even though whenever it's left on the plate, it enrages me.
Would you say this is something you've given too much thought to?
No. The English love tomatoes on a fry. That is it's a key ingredient.
Is it?
Of a cooked breakfast.
Funny enough, actually, I was in England last weekend and I got a tomato on my fry beside my mushrooms.
Was it a plum tomato?
No, it wasn't.
Like as in out of a tin?
Was a fresh tomato, but it had been grilled.
Beside your mushrooms. See, I think mushrooms on a fry is fucking... It's beyond.
I mean, it's everybody's, it's like a, very much an each to their own, but also my nickname used to be the bin, so I will eat anything you put in front of me.
Is there anything you won't eat?
Not mad on
penis.
Raw onions. No, penis is fine. Not mad on the raw onions.
In what context? In any context?
In any context. Onions are sneaky. If you eat something with onions and then you have a dessert, but then you burp, you still taste onions. Like that's wow. After something.
This hook this fucking content right up to my veins, mate. This is so highbrow, it's unbelievable. So they repeat on you? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, we just don't like onions. I don't mind when they're cooked into something, onions cooked into a gravy, because most times if you cut things, you know, slim enough, they'll dissipate into the the soup of whatever you're making.
Like in Goodfellas.
Yes.
When he's shaving the fucking garlic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing it with a razor blade.
Yeah. I don't have any mad problem with onions. I remember getting stew as a child when you had a partially cooked onion in it. So it wasn't raw, but it wasn't cooked. So you'd have this nice
fell in walking past.
Yeah, you'd have a nice like velvety stew with nice, you know, lovely potatoes and stuff, and then you had this and you were like, ugh. As for raw onions in a burger, whoever indulges in that should be shot. And onions on a fry. Colchis love onions on a fry.
Not for me at all.
No. It's the texture. It's a bizarre texture to have on a fry.
Yeah.
When you put it with everything else, because they've all got quite similar textures.
But so overall, you're lumping in the onions with the tomato. You're like, these don't belong here.
Oh, a tomato doesn't make any sense. Especially a cooked tomato.
Aye. Well, yeah, it doesn't.
It's just gutters.
But I eat stuff in order of my preference, so I'll leave my favourite thing to the end. So if it's on a fry, I'll eat the tomato first. Get out of the way. I was brought up not to leave food.
You're a savage, but how do you just eat a fucking tomato?
It's usually half a tomato, to be fair. I mean,
I know that. Yeah, but like, where's the joy? It's a joyless thing, a tomato.
So you're saying not in the fry?
No way.
Right. Well,
even though I do it.
Well, I was going to say, if it's my preference, I wouldn't put it on there. But if I've asked for a fry and it comes anyway. But I mean, if you're ever in a place where you can see, because sometimes they don't tell you on the menu, and then a tomato lands. So yeah. If I see it, I'll say, oh no, tomato, thanks. But that's because I don't want to waste food.
God, you're just fucking, you're just the nicest guy in the world, aren't you? I don't want to waste food.
I'm not, but I'm trying harder, you know what I mean?
Right, okay. Right, yeah, because it is, it's a hotbed question, the fry thing. What makes up a fry, an Ulster fry?
Right, what's on yours? What's on yours that
what's
you serve
on,
here?
What's on mine?
Right, because is there a difference between what you serve here and what you would eat at home?
Yes.
Right, what's on yours here?
Okay.
Let's do them a difference.
Here, bacon, egg, sausage, white pudding, black pudding.
Cracker.
Soda Slim.
Brilliant.
Tomato for colour.
Right.
The end.
An 8-piece.
Oh, okay. It's an 8-piece, yes.
Right, what do you eat at home?
At home. See, at home, I don't like fried eggs, which is strange. At 22 stone that I don't enjoy a fried egg. I do like a poached egg, but generally speaking, I like scrambled egg.
Oh, that's good. Good replacement.
Yes. So we scrambled egg, smoked bacon. Any other bacon is a lie. It's just thick salt.
That's true.
I do sound like Dr. Evil here, don't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hang on, if you smoke it though, does it make it not less salty, but by science, does the salt drip out of it or something? Or?
No, because the salt is irrelevant because the predominant flavour is the smoke.
Gotcha.
As opposed to just salt. You fucking idiot. So scrambled eggs, smoked bacon. I like beans on a fry.
I do too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been told it's for Protestants only, but there you go.
No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a second.
I have a Protestant name, I'll do what I want.
Don't you? There's somebody banging at the door.
There is, it's your father.
Well, he can fuck off, I'm doing a podcast.
Well, do you want one? We can pause it, like?
Right. Okay, let's pause it while we go and answer the door to the man that I said that I was doing a podcast.
We'll give off when we see him.
Yeah. Right, well, so that was a brief break. You love tea.
Will we pretend to edit in a commercial break there or something?
For where?
For
for a local business.
Fred Hooks.
Fred Hooks.
I do love tea. Doesn't make me a bad person, right? I love tea.
How do you take your tea?
Strong enough, a wee bit of milk, no sugar.
I haven't paused my I but didn't pause mine, I stopped mine.
Okay, just, I paused mine and hit resume. Well, you just noticed it's the two together.
Right, so good. Glad you enjoyed you're enjoying your tea break.
Our little sojourn while we talked your day.
Yeah. So what were we talking? I can't remember what we're talking about. I think it was basically about a fry.
We were working out the differences of what was on each.
I'm bored of that conversation now. Well, I do like fried wheat though.
Controversial.
Fried on one side only is a game changer.
I'll take a bit of toasted wheat in there. Fried pancake.
No, that's a Hallian's action, that.
That's what my mother used to do. That was great.
It's very Belfast-y, the pancake on a fry.
Is it?
It is, Belfast thing.
Brian used to knock them out all the time out in the brook there. The fried pancake. I think it was just to soak up the grease. It's a very absorbent bread. Just drag it around the pan, let it soak up all the good stuff off
Jesus
the eggs and
Christ,
sauce.
That's disgusting.
And then give it to your children.
My grandfather used to fry absolutely everything. He used to fry peas, he used to fry beans.
I've had refried beans, but never fried beans.
No. This is a precursor to refried beans. Just used to throw them on. Bit of beef dripping or lard or something in the pan.
And beans.
He used to fry
in the
beans.
Sauce.
In the whole lot. Throw it in.
Why?
I don't know. But the hilarious thing is that, yes, my grandfather and his brother are big men. They did smoke. They did drink an awful lot.
So was the last place that worries them was a bit of fry.
They ate fried food. They don't have anything wrong. And Uncle Kevin lived till he was 87. And Granda lived till he was just kicking the arsehole 80.
That's not bad going now.
That's not bad going.
I've had three grandparents go past 90.
Okay.
And one who smoked too much. So he didn't see that. He didn't get that far.
Okay.
So one Granda smoked and died young. 60. And then the other ones were just... Well, two of them are good country folks, so they were probably growing their own food for 60 years.
All my grandparents were country folk. Well,
exactly.
Define country folk. This whole place is one country.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
So were they more country than
it's
others?
It's a very nationalist answer.
Legend has it that an old man years ago used to go to Newtown, Newton Hamilton, for anybody that isn't familiar with the vernacular.
Is that the proper pronunciation of it as well?
Newton Hamilton.
The pronunciations of it are Newtown Hamilton when it's on BBC News.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's Newton Hamilton.
Newton. Like
Sir Isaac Newton.
Yeah, where are you from? Newtown. And they say, Newtown Clog? No! Who the fuck says Newtown Clog? No one.
Where the fuck's that?
Clog!
Is that what it's actually called?
Yes, I think so.
Funny enough, so. I said to someone in Belfast I was from the Brook and they thought I meant Twinbrook.
Ah.
And you don't want to be from there.
No. No, definitely not. Anyway, legend has it this man used to go to Newtown every Saturday to get his bits and pieces. And he used to go to the butcher and buy all his meat, sausages, bacon, pudding, all of the things we were talking about a minute ago there. And he used to come home blocked, drive his tractor home steaming, cook everything that he bought in the butcher's in one big massive pan, possibly a skillet. Cook it all and then eat from it. And then whenever he was done eating, he used to put it away in a cupboard. And then the next day he'd get up, be like, oh, fucking hell.
Dying.
Fucking starving. Put it back on the stove. Like, warm it all up. Eat from it again. Put it in the cupboard. And he did that for 2 or 3 days.
Let's start off by saying, number one, what a legend. And number two, should we rename the podcast Stories You Hear to Wake?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Stories are here to wake, but that is actually good. I might have to rename this.
Yeah, I like Modern Life as well because we're talking about people from years ago who were absolutely robots, unkillable.
Yeah, they were though.
Yeah, the stuff they ate. My grandfather had one heart attack, which is the one that killed him, and he was 91 years old, and at the time he was cutting sticks for the fire.
And he died as he lived. Cutting sticks for the fire.
He pretty much just went into the house and says, I don't feel well. And that was it.
Bang. See you later.
Yeah. What a legend. No decking about. Drove right up until, I think he drove until the year before he passed away. And then somebody had to come and go, give me the license. He was like, no, I'm fine.
Fucking hell. That's mental. You see, you don't hear stories like that anymore. There's nobody like that anymore.
Yeah. Most people that live to quite an age are locked in a home and just, you stay there. Like, oh, for fuck's sake. But this was a man who lived on the farm that he worked and stuff. So
I did hear an exciting tale one time about a man who was like looking after his old uncle, an old bachelor uncle was in his late 80s and would not come off the farm. What wasn't happening.
So someone had to move in with him?
Not even, but before they got to that stage, he got a call one day. The nephew got a call saying, your uncle's fell up in one of the fields. And he says, right, be up now. And because he didn't want an ambulance or didn't want anything. Oh, phone such and such. He'll come up, gather me up. Grand. Phone the nephew come up. And the between the three of them, the best way they could work this all out is if they actually put him in a wheelbarrow, right? And they got him to the house. And they tipped the wheelbarrow up to get him up on his feet. And he walked into the house. So you get wheelbarrowed to the front door. This is a true story.
You definitely have to rename this podcast.
I know. I don't want to alienate fucking people that don't have wakes though.
City folks that don't have gardens.
Or people that are afraid of death.
See that, boys? That's green. That's green. Get outside. It's a field.
I love a good wake though.
Do you?
I do.
In a morbid fascination kind of way? Or you just love hearing stories?
Yeah, the stories. I enjoy.
Stories are always mental.
What I love about wakes is seeing people who are desperately uncomfortable with the concept of a wake.
Yes.
Trying to, they don't know what to do. I have it down to a fine art, you see.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can't shake hands anymore.
Well, at the minute.
That's out the window.
At
yes,
the minute.
For now.
See, what I've done now, it depends. Depends. Because obviously you have a sliding scale of sadness in wakes.
Gotcha.
So an old man cutting sticks, having a heart attack, that's not a bad way to go.
Aye.
You know,
fit and healthy till the end.
There hasn't been any suffering and all that sort of stuff. And at 90 years of age, like, it was time he was dead.
He didn't seem to mind.
Well,
he didn't protest much.
Obviously, you have, you know, very sad wakes, which we'll not talk about because they are very sad.
Because it's supposed to be a funny podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just go up to the person who is at the door and I look at them and I go, and they go, I know.
Brilliant. Non-responsive. Yeah. Non-committal.
I know. And then I go, what do you say? And they go, there's nothing you can say. And I go, 100%. Where's the fucking biscuits?
Class.
Woo-hoo.
Go in, pretend to say your prayers.
Yeah, oh, I do that, yeah.
Yes, yeah, you have to. You have to go and go to where the body is, confirm they're dead, yes, for your own eyes, and then go, right, cup of tea, yes please. What? Oh, fancy biscuits, thank you. And
see, I'm not one for the tea, in fairness.
That's, what do you have with your biscuits then?
I just have the biscuits.
You're a monster.
Just right, put them in my pocket, you know,
take them over there,
slip a few in for later on. No,
full box of Family Circle up your jumper.
Yeah, it depends, actually. It depends on the week. If it's one that I'm just going to do my deed and, you know,
Civic duty,
then they say, you take a wee cup of tea, and I say, oh, geez, no, not at all, get out of your hair, you'll be busy soon, you know,
3 a.m.
Yeah, you'll have people coming now, don't be worrying. But yeah, no, they know a good week is good crack.
My main skill of the week is I have for about, I'd say, what am I, 34, I'd say it's been at least definitely more than 10 years I've figured out I know my time to leave. If a priest walks into the room with the body, is get out now,
fuck,
because there's going to be a decade of the rosary, and yeah, you're in there for at least 25 minutes.
And it's not even a decade of the rosary, it's a decade.
Yeah,
it feels like a fucking decade.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'm not fussed on the decade of the rosary. If you can find out
when it's going to be.
Top tip, if you can find out the time the person died, that's usually, like, if say they died at 5 o'clock in the evening, then 5 o'clock the next evening, some fucker's going to say the rosary. And be like, oh, here we go, it's a day since this person died.
Right.
Let's get the rosary out of the way. Out the fuck. It doesn't even have to be a priest. It can be somebody that really, really, really loves mass.
That too.
Like a lay minister.
It could be anybody.
Yeah, I can't believe it's not the priest. You'll do.
This guy.
Yeah.
Or lady. It's just somebody who loves a mass.
Yeah.
There are professional wakegoers as well. I know a few of them. Have a wake to go to. My mother would be one.
Yeah.
Have a wake to get to.
Generally the oldest person in the house. The oldest sibling.
That's not my mother. She just loves a good wake.
Maybe she just likes biscuits.
She does like biscuits. The other thing as well is being of the one of the workers from the Social Security office. She will foolishly say, I need how many forms? Guaranteed a week later, maybe not even a week, somebody will be down for that. Like,
well, is she happy enough for that? Because if that was me, I would say,
but don't,
if you need a hand on hand, because would be me saying, I'm going now,
yeah,
but I'm leaving you on a nice note because I just want the fuck out. If you need a hand, don't be afraid to shout. And then if they did shout, I'd be like, fucking bastards.
No, Brenda is actually just too nice a person to say, I was only saying that to be nice. She is actually offering her help. Whereas I, on the other hand, would be like, for fuck.
Yeah.
I didn't mean it. Like.
Yeah. It was just one of them things you say. Is there Chandler?
Yeah.
We have to do this again sometime. Which means, don't call me.
Yeah. Or it's like, if you're saying, I'm going to the shop, do you want anything? When somebody wants something, you're secretly raging.
Well, that is true.
You're like, I couldn't be arsed getting you nothing. This was me being polite.
Yeah.
So wakes are maybe something similar where you're like, and if you need anything, and they're like, you couldn't get his hand digging the grave. Some people still do that. Family members will traditionally want to dig the hole themselves.
Fuck that.
Protestants, if you're still with us, we're weird people. It's, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, we should be like,
you just lock them in the chapel, make sure they can't get out like some sort of vampire, and then go in a few days.
See, what I was thinking there is, we'll say this, now that the Protestants have gone, let's talk about our plan for 32 County. How we're going to do it via the medium of coronavirus.
Yeah, exactly. Something that doesn't give a fuck what nationality, race,
believe,
or creed you are.
Do you believe the coronavirus? Do you believe that it's true?
Do I believe it's true? I believe we haven't probably been hit by as bad a thing, which is fairly evident when you see photos of people standing out in the streets in Newry in a big huddle.
Yeah.
We're not humans. Well, yeah. Mother Nature's had enough of us and she's figuring it out now.
Because I had a conversation with someone yesterday who reckons that it is not a myth, but it has happened, but it has been blown out of, you know, proportion in order to reset the economy because of what has gone on since 2008. That they've just decided, you know what, fuck this, let's just reset everything back to zero or whatever, give people money, give them, you know, help, give businesses help, blah, 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 blah. Just and literally reset the economy and go again.
Like, I was wondering why you were wearing that tinfoil hat. It's all making sense.
Yeah. Turn it off and on again, basically.
Oh, okay. Control alt delete.
Yeah.
For a world economy. Alt, right.
Yeah. The task manager is now open.
Jesus. All I know is both of my revenue streams are fucked. So one being comedy because nobody's allowed to gather in a space anymore.
True.
And two, I work in hospitality. So that's why I have loads of free time to come and hang out. Do you want to do an hour in the morrow?
No. Don't. I really don't. I'm going to check on the questions. How are we going? What is a respectable time? Because obviously your podcast
is usually about an hour.
Darren Matthews and Sometimes Friends. Episode are you on now?
When I simulcast this one, it'll be 23, I believe.
23.
Yeah, it's been great. I've got to chat to some lovely people. And you are now my first recurring guest, even though I am on your podcast. Because it's an Inception podcast. It's a podcast within a podcast.
It is.
But the live questions is good. You have enough of a following to...
A riddle wrapped in an enigma. We have a question here, which is very funny. It's a bit of a Reeves and Mortimer one.
Love it.
It's from Stephen Barry. Do you know Stephen?
No.
He's Welsh.
No. Try not to know Welsh people.
Right.
My great grandfather was Welsh.
Really?
My name's Matthews, that's where it comes from.
Alright.
Matthews.
Calm down. Tough. Mm-hmm. Slow cooking. Is it still fashionable? That's the worst Welsh accent ever.
Yeah.
Slow cooking, is it still fashionable?
I slow cooked a bit of beef the other day.
You're the worst person I know.
I'm not. Okay, I might be. No, you're the worst person you know.
Without a doubt.
Exactly.
Slow cooking, is it still fashionable? No, I don't think it is.
Well, you don't have time to do it in here. I'm trying to feed people.
You see, slow cooking, you don't need a slow cooker to slow cook something. So slow cooking is a method as opposed to a piece of machinery.
Gotcha.
You know, I get it, I do get it. I just don't understand why. You know, you have people, especially in the wake of this self-isolation thing and, you know, how to make Play-Doh in a slow cooker.
Oh, that's too much.
Fuck off.
It's for food.
Yeah. Just buy it. Just buy the fucking Play-Doh.
You can still online shop. Well, if you don't want to talk about methods of cooking that are no longer fashionable, pressure cooking.
Pressure cooking.
That's dangerous.
Yeah.
My auntie gets called to one of those in about 1984 and we're like, that's the end of the pressure cooker.
Was that a week?
No. But I do remember the pressure cookers were a big deal. Every one of my aunties had a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
Granny had a pressure cooker. Fucking, and then, do you know what? It was probably running at the same time as the chip pan. If you're under the age of 25, welcome to history. Welcome to our TED Talk about the things that used to be on the murder in the house.
Again, modern life is rubbish. Slow cooking, rubbish.
Gotcha.
If you had to pick something, some current trend that you believe is rubbish, what would it be?
Current trend?
Jesus. Trend / something that is a la mode.
Are we too old to follow trends?
Right, well, here's something that I think's fucking rubbish.
Go for it.
Mindfulness.
Mindfulness? Yeah. What is I don't know what it is. Just,
do you know what mindfulness is?
Is it sitting thinking?
Yeah. Well,
you do that all the fucking time.
No. Well, okay. Online mindfulness then.
Right.
Because it's just people... It's just women liking quotes that are mystical and vague and cryptic.
Right.
And I think it's usually just to fucking passively, aggressively freak out their partner, mostly men. So they might like something that's if you don't like me at my worst, you don't deserve me. You know, that sort of shit.
Marilyn Monroe.
Yes.
The woman who died of an overdose because she was a fucking emotional wreck.
Correct. So
maybe don't listen to her.
If a woman shares that, then somewhere there's a man going, what the fuck have I done now?
Oh, okay.
That's the very opposite of mindfulness. That's psychological
warfare.
Assassination.
Oh, okay. Right, mindfulness. I thought it was that Headspace app and meditation and not letting things get you down or something. I normally just go for a big walk and listen to some music.
Stop being so fucking positive, will you?
Was the point of this podcast not we would be really positive in... You know, it's love in the time of cholera. It was not a famous novel. This is positivity in the time of coronavirus.
No, this is just me being a massive cunt and somebody coming along for the dizzy joy ride. Another thing that is rubbish is those bedroom vinyl decals that people put above their beds that say live, laugh, love.
That is rubbish.
Isn't that rubbish
though? I don't have anything hanging in my bedroom that's or where people get them and is it vinyl stickers you buy on eBay or something and stick them on, or they're painted on the wall.
No, I think it is just literally your fucking DIY job.
Yeah.
You know, if I did that in my room, A, it would not say live, laugh, love, and B, they wouldn't be applied straight.
Fair enough.
Yeah. They'd be coming off at an angle, which would make me then probably dismantle the wall with a sledgehammer in bad temper.
I think yours would say eating's cheating if you're on the drink.
Well, eating clearly is not cheating for me, because eating's something I do quite a bit. If I did that, what would your decal say above your bed?
Mine would say, don't free pour whiskey. Because I was at a wedding last week and I made friends with the bartender and showed him how to pour a pint of Guinness properly. And then he was my best friend because I gave him a tip of about a pound. So he just free poured me whiskey all the rest of the evening.
How did he not know how to pour a pint of Guinness?
Because he was about 17 and he was English. So
ooh.
I was like, what are you doing?
This is a wedding in England?
This is a wedding in England.
How was the Guinness not just rancid?
It was not the best. Because it wasn't, they obviously had just brought it in. They were an Irish wedding, stick a keg of Guinness in there, didn't get the right gas, it came out freezing. I was like, fuck's sake. But it was there, so it was to be drunk.
Have you ever drunk a bottle of stout?
I have, it was actually alright.
Was it?
Yeah. But I don't mind my beers and my stuff in bottles, and you know why I drink craft beer, because you mock me all the time for it.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah.
But that's like the original craft beer.
It is. Slightly fizzed Guinness.
Yeah.
Guinness for export.
The old men, because we had a pub out in the sticks like 20 odd years ago, 1982 actually, so nearly 30 years ago.
Yeah, no, when Donegal won the All-Ireland.
Fuck off, will you?
I'm trying to give context to the time here.
That is not how you give context to the time.
What else happened? That's hang
1982.
On, hang on. Reeling in the years on RTE, that's how they bring contact. That's how you know what year it is. Who won the All-Ireland?
Who won the hurling?
And who won the Eurovision? Ireland, also in 1982.
Yes, correct. With who?
Oh, Jesus. That's a good... Was that Niamh or was she 94?
You're terrible, Muriel.
Muriel? Oh, was it Muriel?
No!
That's from Muriel's wedding, I know.
1982.
Plus her real name was Mariel.
Mariel Hayslop.
Yeah.
No, 1982 was Linda Martin with Why Me.
Fucking Linda.
Written by Johnny Logan.
Who had already won himself.
Who already won twice before.
Class.
In 1987 and 1981. What's another year? I fucking can't remember. Because I wasn't born.
Fair enough.
And then 1983.
And what was his other song?
Hold Me Now.
Nice one.
That's an absolute banger.
That's a ballad.
That is a ballad and a half. Great key change and all that.
Yeah. Don't get that in songs
anymore.
You
don't get a good key change anymore.
When was the last great key change? Westlife, when you look like that.
Ah, oh, that's a big...
That's a big key change.
That's
caught me out a few times drunkenly at karaoke.
Do you just go too soon into...
No, I just forget how high it is and then you have to punch yourself in the nuts to fucking get up there. Get that note.
Yeah, you don't get a good ballad anymore, but... Anyway, so then Niamh Cavan in 93 and 94 was Rotten Home Kids.
Oh, okay.
With Paul Harrington.
That was 94.
Charlie McGilligan, yes.
I feel like that was an older song.
No, that was 94. I'm pretty sure.
It doesn't matter, fuck, because the Eurovision's cancelled.
And then 95 was the Brits. Won it, didn't it? Was that 97? I haven't got a fucking clue. Let's face it. I'm a bad lesbian, I don't know.
To be fair, at one point the Brits were picking their Eurovision entry like Ireland used to pick a football team because they had somebody not from the place singing their song. Gina G, the Australian, did Ooh Ah just a little bit.
That's right. An address made of 50 p's that fell all over the place on Top of the Pops, wasn't it?
True, eh? She was from Australia, which are now allowed into the Eurovision because it's massively popular and they need the viewing figures. Australia
it's
are in the viewing
figures. Isn't
it? So are Israel, so are Turkey.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I don't understand any of it, actually.
Do you know what? None of this matters because in 1982 you owned a pub and we just went off on a wild tangent.
Massive.
Guinness.
Basically, I used to obviously fill the shelves and stuff like that. Even though I was but a child, I had to pack out the shelves. And my dad shouted at me because you had to rotate the Guinness. Even though there would be only maybe a couple of weeks in the difference of the use by or best before, whatever it was, there was a date on the Guinness. And you had to give the oldest stuff out first, because apparently if you gave it out when it was too new, the old men, it used to run through them. They would shit themselves if they got too fresh a Guinness.
Do you mean it wasn't the fact that they were drinking 12 of them?
Nothing to do with that.
Grand.
Nothing to do with that.
Because it was proclaimed to me last Sunday morning when I was stirring out my breakfast, which I couldn't eat because I kept... vomiting. That I must have got a bad pint.
Ah, you did.
I did. It was the eighth one. It was the
yeah.
Before eight? I moved on to the whiskies, I drank a lot of pints, and then I drank whiskey, and then I was up dancing.
What is your whiskey of choice?
Whiskey of choice? No, I personal preference is Bushmills.
Really. Bushmills, and do you take a mixer at all?
With the white or red label, I do. I'd take ginger ale and lime, or if I'm just drinking whiskey on its own, I'll drink the 12-year-old, which you can only get up at the distillery. Have a wee bottle of that with my name on it. And then I got a new bottle of Blackbush for Christmas, which I haven't even started
into yet.
I do.
Well, it's meaty stuff, isn't it? Like, it's liqueur, technically.
It's thicker.
Because there's a difference in price between Blackbush and ordinary bush.
Yes, it's just it's how long they've left it in the cask as well, so it's good. I actually have a friend, last time I was up at Bushmills, who works there, who I've known for years from playing in bands, and I brought tourists with me. And he said, "Are you driving?" And I said, "No," and he just brought me out a load of free whiskey.
Really?
And I left quite chinned.
That's jolly decent.
I spent money in the shop on his staff discount.
Right.
But it was nowhere near what he had
tasty.
Given me. It was great.
So that's where the whiskey and ginger ale comes from. Because that is your drink of choice.
Well, whiskey and ginger ale was a two-part show. One was whiskey and ginger ale was a pun on the name. And two, you just drink a lot of whiskey and ginger ale, which was whiskey and dry when I worked in Australia.
Okay.
Whiskey and dry. And then also it came from, there's a story in that show about where I got dumped by a girl and I decided to go on a bender. And I drank a bottle of whiskey, and then the hangover was so bad, that was the end of the bender. I had planned a week, I lasted about a day.
Yeah.
And then I went, that was a fucking terrible idea.
Yeah.
So that was a story in the show.
Have you ever done any more than like 24-hour drinking? Because I can't. See, these people say, I went on the rip for 3 days. Did you really?
Well, you don't do that, because you go on the rip, and then you get up day, and then you go back on the rip, and then you get up day, and then you go back on the rip.
No. You've obviously never been to Newtown Hamilton in 1992.
Fair enough.
No.
Was the pub busy? Was men sleeping on the pool table and then ready for next service?
They didn't sleep.
They didn't?
You drank consistently. You'd come in at 9 o'clock at night. Everything was cool. Everybody having a couple of drinks. Everything was... Next thing you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning.
And you can't go
people
home.
People are singing Joe Dolan songs. Loving absolute life. No eating, no nuts, no crisps. Just sheer wall-to-wall alcohol. And continue drinking right round. And then next thing you know, it's 11 o'clock in the morning. We better open up.
Fuck. No.
And just continue.
I've had a few lock-ins and a few horrendous sessions, but never that magnitude. I wouldn't be fit for. Probably even in my... Especially now, but even in my prime, you're talking... At one point, I've fallen over and I can't get up.
A few years ago, I was at a do in the Canal Court.
Right.
It was some sort of a function, some sort of a tally-ho. And there was a certain... there was a group of people there who were having a wee drink, which was great. And I left them at 2 o'clock in the morning in the residence bar in the Canal Court. They were still painting away.
We've all been there.
Okay. And I went home. And I had to go into work the next day. Obviously, work being the bank. I had to go in and lift a few documents to go to the meeting. And they were in the bank. They had not been home. They had drank all night. They were in the residence bar, obviously.
Until kick out.
They drank the five. They had smoked salmon and scrambled eggs in the Canal Court with champers. And continued drinking. And were in the bank bar when it opened at 11:30. And I was in at like 12 o'clock or something to lift them things. And went to my meeting and came back and they were still painting and they were ordering lunch. The most rock and roll
kids.
Rock and roll kids. And I'm not going to reveal who it was because I'm not going to tell tales because obviously that's the unwritten rule. You don't tell what goes on in the bar.
Exactly.
But there is you'll enjoy the connection whenever I tell you.
The other thing is as well from that, from people doing that drinking around. I was thinking with all the pubs now being closed, what's going to happen in the early houses, which weren't supposed to be open anyway, and we won't name them as well, because I don't want my legs broke. Early houses, what are they going to do? Are they still going to open?
I don't know, it's a strange one, that. There was a bit of a kickback there, I did notice online, about places that had said they were going to close, before they were obviously all were told to yesterday, but there were places that said, yeah, we're closing, and then didn't actually close to let people in through a side door.
In Belfast on St. Patrick's Day, I took a wee drive around. There was only one pub. There's one pub down the Dublin Road open. The wee pub across the road, but they had brought in the special, don't be sitting near anybody, and here's a single-use glass. They were trying to be as efficient as possible and within the guidelines. And then one of the other ones was... Wetherspoons was fucking rammed.
Really?
In Belfast, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No social distancing.
Mr. Wetherspoon doesn't give a fuck. Sure he doesn't?
No, he said it was all...
Yeah, he's a massive Tory, isn't he?
Yes, he said it was all over reaction.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's not very nice. But yeah, he was saying, it's a reaction, overreaction. People aren't getting this in the pubs. What are you all panicking for? And he's obviously a multi-millionaire. So yeah. He needs it. He needs that cash.
Who is it you were telling me earlier on about, is it Mr. Amazon?
Yes, he's had the gall to start an online basically crowdfunder to get money for his poor staff who are now flat out, and to keep them in work, even though he is personally the richest man in the world.
So are they still currently working, fulfilling orders and stuff?
Yeah.
So they're in work.
They're in work.
And he wants, and presumably it's not unpaid work.
No, they're being paid for it, but obviously they're now going to get busier. So they took a hit.
Okay.
Because people were obviously like, we need to keep our money. But now people are in the house sitting on their arses. They're probably online shopping.
Yeah.
For things they need to keep them busy in the house.
Yes.
So there'll be a lot of books, a lot of video games. Jigsaws, big header. And so now they're probably flat out again. So he's obviously saying, oh, the company's taking a bit of a hit. Can you help keep my staff?
Fuck off, mate.
Exactly, fuck off. Saying as we're here recording this and I don't know, I worked yesterday and I don't know if I'm going back.
Ooh.
So, okay, I can fuck off.
Yeah, you can fuck off. Who are the winners in this situation, do you think?
Jesus, I don't know. Anybody?
B&Q.
B&Q?
I'd say there's going to be a lot of people who are going to redecorate the house.
Yeah, well, there's going to be... The two things I'm worried about is a baby boom.
Ugh.
And then the other one they're worried about is... Well, one of the funniest things, if you want to take any sort of positivity or any kind of a good laugh out of people coming out... In China, when they let people out of their houses after 2 weeks, there were 80 couples filed for divorce.
Yeah, I saw that, but I didn't know if that was true or not.
I had a great laugh at that, and I just thought, well, if you're not going to take anything, yeah.
So I did see somebody saying that whenever we all get, everything goes back to normality, it's going to be like whenever, have you ever seen Wall-E?
Yes.
So it's like going to be whenever, you know, everyone comes back to Earth. You know, do you think that's going to happen? People are going to walk out of their houses and be like, oh, the sky, you know.
Well, I would hope so. You'd hope there'd be some sort of positivity. I'm definitely planning a bit more. Well, I've done a lot of travelling, but my main thing is, if I'm allowed out of the house again, it will be to fucking run off somewhere.
Yeah. See, I don't know. I don't know if you've picked up on this, but I'm a massive cynic.
No, you're not. Oh, no, it is you. You're talking about, yeah.
So I don't know. I think there's this fucking horrible meme that's doing the rounds, and it's like, and the people came out of their houses, and the people the people went into their houses, and they learned to laugh again, and they learned, they picked up a book and they read a book and they did this and they enriched themselves and they took the time and they blah blah blah. That's bullshit. The people are in their houses watching Netflix.
Yes.
And they're going to come out of their houses again and they're going to be like, oh, do you know what? This is great. Lockdown really made me see what matters. And that's going to last for about a fortnight. And then everybody's going to be fucking beating the heads of each other again and calling each other cunts in private groups on Facebook.
Yeah, well, they'll be able to do it online now because...
Be kind.
Be kind.
Yeah.
Rewind.
No, just be kind.
Okay, grand.
Yeah, that lasted. Now it's stay safe. That's the new hashtag. Stay safe.
Hang on, see, this is the one I wanted to point out as well, was I've slipped back into a mode where I've now started saying goodbye to people like the troubles are back on. Because it's how we use language in this country and how we talk to each other. People don't say bye, they go, get home safe. That's just something maybe that's in our brains.
That's what Frank Mitchell says.
Get home safe.
He doesn't even. Does he say, take care, be good, bye-bye.
Is that how he says, yeah? Well, no, because there's, I've explained this to somebody, I didn't realise I was doing it. Until I was in a foreign nation and somebody said, that's a weird way to say bye. Because I went, you know, get home safe. Like, what do you expect to happen? And I was like, that is definitely some sort of weird hangover from my childhood.
That is. That's,
yeah.
Yeah. You could probably...
Or look after yourself.
Yeah. Mind yourself.
Yeah. People don't just go bye.
Yeah. I would be a great one for Mind the Roads.
Fair enough. Because Newtown is famous for its quality highway.
Quality highway. Yeah. Mind them roads.
Yeah.
Babysit the roads.
It's a one-lane road. What do you do if you meet a car coming? Will you reverse to the nearest farm gate to let the person past you?
Or just well-worn fucking... What's the difference between a ditch and a shuck?
A ditch and a shuck? Well, they were both on the side of the road, aren't they? Like, so...
Yeah. Like, if you go into the ditch...
If you go into the ditch, you hit the grassy bit.
But is that not a verge?
Is that for posh people?
I don't know.
Hit a verge.
Answers on a postcard, wasn't
Answers
it?
On a postcard. Also, answers on a postcard, what do you call the bit of grass up the... Is there an official word in the dictionary for the bit of grass up the middle of the road?
Oh, the bit that... Yeah.
The bit that, obviously, tractors don't run over. This is proper country roads now, not... It's a bit of a rough road. I'm in a proper laneway.
Yeah, lane,
with a load of grass and just two tyre marks on each side of it. What's the... Is there a dictionary word for the...
A bit of grass? Would it be a furrow? What's a furrow? Is that what happens when you plough a field?
No, that's what I do with my brow when people say silly stuff. Furrow my brow.
You furrow your brow. Did you just scowl?
Yeah, something similar.
Let's see. Have we any more questions before we wrap up? I don't know. How do you feel the Modern Life is Rubbish podcast is going, Darren? Because I feel it's just me talking fucking shite.
Well, at least I'm here with you talking shite, so it's fine.
That's true.
I feel like we're going to make a lot of talking points. And if you're listening to this in the future, weird. Send us your thoughts on the things we've discussed, and then we can just keep going.
Yeah,
because from that people are going to have come back with their own opinions of what we've talked about, and we can address those on the next one, like a recap. Recap your next one.
That's true. Who have I got lined up? I have. Oh, look at this! Someone in Iceland and England. During this uncertain time, congratulations to this lovely couple who got engaged in our Tunbridge store.
I saw that,
Tunbridge.
Actually.
Tunbridge. He had planned to propose in Iceland, but after the holiday was cancelled, he chose the next best thing. Well, that's shit.
Which is the actual...
Yeah, so they're supposed to go to Iceland on their holidays. She's so pissed off. Look at her face. She's like, fucking hell, just take the photo.
Yeah.
They're doing that specifically to get free groceries for life.
Yeah, probably. Now's the time for it.
Marmite. Peanut butter in the background there. Weird. And this young fella on the till who wants to die.
Yeah, he's like, please don't put me in this photograph.
Yeah. Well, that's nice. I really wish I hadn't been tagged in that. So we'll do a recap. Annette from Little Penny Thoughts is supposed to be coming down doing a podcast with me, but she... I think she's maybe self-isolating.
Fair enough. I think she is, yeah.
Up in Trone. Up in Trone.
Oh, not even up in Belfast where she lives. She's gone back to the motherland.
Oh, she's gone back to the motherland. Who else? Who's your dream podcast interviewee?
Oh, who to chat to? Jesus. Well, absolute dream, never going to happen. Probably somebody like Billy Connolly before he completely flitters off into his own mind.
Yeah, don't be slagging Billy Connolly.
I'm not slagging him. He did a piece the other day about why stand-up's so brilliant. I reshared it and I nearly wept. Because I've seen him live and it was sad. It was amazing how he described the act. And then I was just like, he's just said how I feel, but I've never been able to vocalise.
I saw him in the Waterfront that time as well.
I was at that.
I didn't enjoy him.
Did you not?
No, and I'm a big fan.
And you just told me not to slag Billy Connolly. You're saying he wasn't good live?
I mean, don't slag any fucking older gentleman who's suffering from Parkinson's /
That wasn't dementia. A slag, and that was an actual, I would love to talk to him while he's still able.
Okay.
Well, remember, I'm the nice one on this podcast.
That's true.
Exactly.
Maybe you're just a secret sneak.
Yes, sneaky bass.
Sneaky cunt. Billy Connolly, fair enough. What about a dead person?
Oh, fuck, there's loads of them you want to talk to. Who would be interesting? Like a historical figure?
Lee Harvey Oswald. I don't talk to him.
Did you do it, Lee? Did you?
Yeah.
Did you?
Was it you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just go, no. And then we go further on.
Yeah.
What happened?
I was quite literally at the cinema and they just left them.
Yeah, I wasn't doing anything bold at all.
Yeah. I first learned about that conspiracy from an episode of Quantum Leap. So.
Did you?
He leapt into the body of Lee Harvey Oswald for a two-parter.
Get the fuck.
Yeah.
Was it good?
It was class.
Shit.
Historical figure. Check it out.
Mr. Man. What's his name? Scott Bakula. Yes. Is that his name?
Yep.
Bakula, is in like a CSI fucking Vancouver or something, or CSI.
Is that what he's doing there?
Montreal.
Because the last thing I knew he was in was he was in one of they had made a Star Trek series. He was in.
Right. I must look that up. That'd be very good. That's up there with when Jessica Fletcher went to Ireland. She went to Connemara.
Oh Christ! Where everyone refused to speak English to her.
Yeah, pretty much.
Neil Osborne, Oscailaga.
No, everybody did speak English in an Irish accent by an English person. It's hilarious. It's so bad. Look it up. It was like a feature length murder she wrote.
Is it worse than when Captain Planet went to Belfast?
No, nothing's
worse than that.
That's awful, but awesome.
a nuclear bomb in one part of Belfast, not realising that...
Sean, that sounds like a Catholic name.
Yeah. I just thought it was really funny as well. The same guy who did that, because there was a character on the X-Men series, which was out at the same time as Captain Planet, called Sean Cassidy, his superhero name is Banshee. And in the show, he was Irish as well, and fuck, it was bad.
Sean
I think
Cassidy.
It was the same guy who did the voice in Captain Planet.
What did Captain Planet actually do? Did he do anything?
He took pollution down to zero. It's in the song, for fuck's sake.
I know it's in the song, but do you ever see him doing anything? It's usually the wee minions that he has that are all like...
No, because they try and fix it themselves, and then when they can't fix it, their powers combine Captain Planet. But
Captain
any
Planet
bit of...
comes along.
But he's supposed to clean up stuff. Any bit of dirt, and he's fucked. He usually fired, like pollution at him, or like, you know, toxic waste or something, and it would put him in bad shape.
But if there was like an oil spill or something, like, you know, in the water, you know, when people go and like clean seals and stuff, would he not come along and be like,
I'd do it a bit quicker. I must go back and actually watch a few episodes and be like, yeah, what did you do?
Yeah,
because he had a boss as well. Gaia, Mother Earth, was there, like,
yeah,
she was like Charlie to the angels.
So was he just like a pimp for Mother Earth?
He was not a pimp, he was a pawn. She would tell him to do stuff and he would do it.
Yeah, I always felt sorry for that wee Asian person. It was like earth, wind, fire, water,
heart. Yeah.
Heart. Let's involve an Asian person in this.
Heart was a bollocks one.
Heart.
I'm trying to think, yeah, because they're all from the weirdest places. The wee guy was like Chicago. There was Earth was a wee African boy.
Was he? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was Earth. Wind was the Ukrainian blonde lass.
Your fucking knowledge of Captain Planet is very frightening.
Most 80s or 90s cartoons, people talk about like, oh, cartoons for kids now are you have to be careful about violence in them. I was like, did you ever see He-Man?
Yeah, that's true,
actually. People run around baiting each other with swords.
Did you fancy She-Ra?
She-Ra, I did. She's a good looking woman.
She had good thighs.
She's great thighs.
Yeah.
Crush you to death.
Absolutely. She was ginger too, wasn't she?
She was.
Gingerific.
She-Ra.
Who was better, Banana Man or Super Ted?
Big question. Super Ted did more road safety adverts.
That's true.
And he had a sidekick. Banana Man, nobody wanted to be his friend.
But Banana Man has more merch.
That's true. Super Ted was good. My cousin has the nickname Super Ted. Because his father is called Teddy. So he got Super Ted. Which led to him when he was 17 getting a Superman tattoo on his arm. Because he thought that'd be a good idea.
That's a great idea.
It's now just a source of ridicule. But fair play though.
Lesbians love a good Superman logo t-shirt.
I have noticed that.
And Vans.
Vans are a classic.
Yeah.
So they dress like me when I was 16 then?
No, I mean actual Vans.
No, I... Oh, a van. Okay, I thought you meant the shoe.
No, I mean...
you mean a transit.
Yeah, a fucking... No, a Bedford. No, Bedford van. I don't remember much about Super Ted or Banana Man, to be fair.
Well, Banana Man's name was Eric.
Yeah. They were quality cartoons. Like, I did like the raccoons.
Oh, they were great.
They were good.
Zero Sneer, the body.
Yeah, raccoons. There was something out of gummy bears, obviously. Love the gummy bears.
The gummy bears? The Care Bears?
No. Do you know who the gummy bears are?
No.
They lived in a forest or something and they used to drink this magic juice that made them bounce. So there may have been hallucinogenics involved there.
Were you hallucinating when you thought of this show?
No.
I'm going to check this out.
The gummy bears. G-U-M-M-I, I think. Gummy bears.
Right.
That's quite early. And then, do you remember Chip and Dale?
Yes.
Rescue Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've really, really digressed here into fucking...
We've gone down the rabbit hole of things that people younger than us won't understand.
But that's not... I don't care, but people younger than us...
That's true.
Those fuckers have it all.
Nostalgia sells.
It does sell.
Yeah.
Number 73, do you remember it? That's... So yeah, what age are you? You're 30...
34.
Yeah. I'm 38 this year.
Stop It and Tidy Up.
Ugh.
Do you remember them?
No. Are they just like... is that just some creation that your ma invented?
Stop It and Tidy Up were they were two little plasticine guys. They were like, kind of like Morph.
Okay.
From that Art Attack. What did Tony present?
Tony Hart.
Yeah.
Heart to Heart.
Heart to Heart.
That was something totally different.
Heart to Heart was like a detective show.
Yeah. With that guy, your man that fucked the woman into the off the ship. Oh, what do you call him?
Is this real or is this an episode of the show?
No, your man. He was number two in Austin Powers.
Oh my god, that's gonna annoy me.
Yeah.
We're gonna find out that will wreck me. No. Number two, in the first 1,000 parts, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the swarthy gentleman.
Oh, I can't remember, but he did. He fired his wife off a boat, but she allegedly fell, but she didn't fall. Who knows? He was like rearrested for it.
In real life?
Yes, in real life.
Robert Wagner!
Was he not in something called Heart to Heart? I haven't got a fucking clue. I'm really tired.
That's okay.
I think we should call a halt to this podcast. But Darren,
before we get into
you,
70s TV shows.
Yeah. We're talking about the fucking Troubles and everything. Thank you very much for being the first guest.
More than welcome.
On the Modern Life is Rubbish podcast. I don't know when the next one's going to be. It may be in the next life.
Satan being allowed out.
The way things are going now. Yeah, so that's it. So follow Darren on all your socials as Darren Matthews Comedy.
Darren Matthews Comedy. Find me on the Instagram and I'll link you, because I need to change my Twitter. I'm going to have to change them so they're all the same.
Yes, that's
but
true.
Yes, but follow Darren Matthews Comedy on the Instagram, which is where you're most famously at, so people more associate there.
That is not true. I'm much more famous on Facebook.
Are you?
Yes, I have 18,000. Nearly 19,000 on Facebook.
Dead on. Don't add me on Facebook, that'd be weird. But Darren Matthews and Sometimes Friends is on there, so our Darren Matthews Comedy and Podcast. Just type me in, you'll find me, it's fine.
Yeah. Who's your next podcast person? Do you know?
I don't, because I haven't been able to organise anything.
Do you think you'll do a Skype one?
If I can figure out technologically how to, probably.
I don't know.
Well, then you need to go and Google stuff and at present I'm trying to see if I have a job as of next week. So once we get that figured out, yeah, we'll get a podcast.
Okay. You can always have a job here.
Can I?
No.
Oh, why not?
You can't.
Even if I have to move home because I can't afford to live in Belfast.
You'll not be moving home. You'll go somewhere else.
I can't.
You and your travel.
Where am I going to travel to? I've no visas and you can't leave the country anyway.
The end of man.
Nah, you're alright.
Okay. Right, so follow Darren on there, and hopefully we'll be back at some stage to do an all the fucking comedy night whenever all this nonsense blows over.
We shall return.
Any ideas for podcast topics or chats or questions or guests, get in touch with me on Instagram, Leanne McCooey. No, not even Leanne McCooey, that's wrong, it's McCooey's Neary.
It is.
On Twitter at McCooey Comedy. And if you're over the age of 55, get me on Facebook. Don't send me a private message, just update your status with when is the next podcast, Leanne.
Yeah.
That should probably work best.
Yeah.
And until we talk again, stay safe, wash your hands, mind the road.
Or what was Dave Allen's one? May your God go with you.
May your God go with you, for I can't.
Because he was a big atheist.
Okay.
Thanks for having me. See ya.
Cheers.